Ko kauri tuku maunga, ko kauri te maunga, ko ngā wairua o te kihi tukaraiti, tuku awa, ko ngā tamariki e noho ana tuku iwi. Ti hei Māori ora. Ko Glenelg Baptist te whari karakia, hi mini te rangatahi ahau. Ko whangai ahau e Ngāti Parau, ko Daniel Marshall tuku ingoa, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou. I'm Daniel Marshall from Glenelg Baptist Church. Hi. How are we doing? 20 years ago, I came to faith in this church. 20 years ago, this is the place I came. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm back here. It is such a privilege. As I go through this, I'm going to do some shout-outs to some people. But I want to gauge how you know these people. So if you hear a name and I shout out a name, you've got to give me a response like, yeah. And if you don't know the person, just be like dead silent. Because I want to see, you know, what names have passed the test of time and which ones haven't. So that'll be fun. We are reading today from 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, you can go to 1 Peter 1. What verse? Yeah, all of it. So don't worry about that. And let me just pray again, just to get us started. So Lord Jesus Christ, speak to us through your word tonight. Open hearts and minds, and freedom is the word that's been spoken from the stage already, and I just want to echo that, and it's freedom. Lord Jesus, amen. 20 years ago when I came to this church, Lindsay Jones. Lindsay Jones was the senior pastor before Greg Liston. And others. I was in the band with Greg Sands. Yeah. And his friend Dave Brewerton. Nice. That's what it used to look like. That was me. Oh, boom. Yeah. That was me back in the day. Yeah, that's hair. That was my hair. Yeah. Take care of it, people, because one day. That was me. If you go to the next slide, that's me and my wife. That's what we looked like when we first came here. Hey, Greg's like, yeah, that was us. If you can't tell, that's a bad attitude on my face. Yeah, that was me, eh, Greg? Yep. Don't take a while to think about it, but that's right. So this is where my wife and her family were coming. I met her outside the church. They met church one day. We'd dated a couple times, and I'm here on the sound desk down the back when it was on the floor in the middle here. And she comes in, I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, this is my family church, what are you doing here? I've been coming here for years. And that's, ta-da, met my wife. We're now married. It's like 16 years married, been together 20. That's right. So when I first started coming here, I used to run around with the Jackson boys. Luke Jackson, Andrew Jackson, those boys. And they would run around with the Most girls. Oh, dear. The Moses, yep. Back in the days of when the band Polly Days used to play. Oh, this is before Young Liar. Yeah, that's right. Back when Daniel Bedingfield used to come to this church. Got to get through this. No one knows Daniel. Okay, sweet. He was famous. He came from here for like a short period of time. He was running in the back of my car. God, it was pretty annoying. But anyway, he's famous, so hey, that's cool. Then I started getting into youth ministry, and Eddie and Cherith Vahakolo, yeah, they took me under their wing, and they taught me lots. Then Craig and Nadine, there we go. This is my home church. This is the church I got sent from. This is the church where I learnt who Christ was, where I got saved, where I got baptized under that drum kit there. I think, Greg was in the pool? Yeah, and then I had 7 guitarists play a third day song. It's a little over the top, but hey, that was that guy, okay? Right? So, yeah, this is where I got baptized. This is when I went on my first missions trip. And this is where I met the living Christ, who radically, radically, radically changed my life. I was born and raised in a non-Christian home. A friend of mine, David Munro. Nice. He's the one who invited me to church. I wasn't the type of person that you invite to church. I'm not the type of person you invite to a prestigious church like Hillsborough Baptist Church. But he had the bravery to ask that with all its attitude and just horrific lifestyle to come to this church, not knowing that I had already had an encounter with Christ. I didn't know what it was. And David was the guy who invited me along. Greg Sands and Dave Broughton invited me into their small group. And the grace they showed me is why I am here today. Amazing grace, amazing love, and amazing patience. Greg's like, don't forget patience. Yeah. Because there was a little bit of that too. Yeah. You're sorry about that, by the way, Greg. I didn't know you were going to be here tonight. So your name's all through this. So it's kind of weird. But yeah. I wasn't always nice to Greg, but this is confession time. I'm sorry, Greg. There were several years there. Was. Anyway, that guy. This guy's different. I'm wearing a shirt. Because that's what pastors do. Eddie and Cherith spoke into my life. After that, Craig and Nadine spoke into my life. All of these people showed me Christ. They didn't just talk about Christ. These people showed me Christ. They took action. And I want you to catch hold of that phrase. They took action. They took action in my life. They showed me someone who was stubborn, someone who was arrogant, someone who was foolish. Okay? All of those things, they saw me, they loved me, and they journeyed with me. I didn't want to be Christian. I came to this church, I never wanted to be Christian. Not at all. The whole thing, the whole time, never wanted it. I say I got dragged kicking and screaming into Christianity because I didn't want it. But I couldn't deny that there was an event that happened to me prior to coming to this church that I knew somehow that God loved me. I had already known that, and I couldn't deny that. But who this God was and what he was like, I had no idea. And it was these people that came and showed me. But I never wanted to be Christian, never. And so I made it as hard as I could for everyone around me. And Greg is nodding in the back with an amen to that. I made it hard. I thought being a Christian was going to be boring. I thought it was pointless. I thought it was just a bunch of rules. I always thought that Christians were the don't do people, right? Christians are known for what they don't do. Don't do this. Don't do that, right? Yeah. I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to do whatever I wanted, when I wanted. That guy. So I was the reluctant Christian. Again, this whole time, knowing God existed. I had an encounter with God on the side of the road that I could not deny. And I know God existed and he loves me. Truth is, I just didn't love him back. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to be part of a system. I didn't want to be part of a structure. I didn't want to conform. Todd Collis is sitting there going, yeah, he never did want to conform. I didn't want to behave. I didn't want any of it. Good 7 years of rejecting all of this stuff, probably longer. I didn't want to be Christian. It looked boring. I look at my son Samuel over there, now 13 years old, super tall, super handsome, look at that. He came to faith when he was about 5, and again at 7, and again at 9. He went on a missions trip when he was 9, he was baptized when he was 11. So what's left for him to do? He's a great evangelist, he shares his faith at school with everyone, he brings people along to youth group, he's a great evangelist. But he looks around at his friends at school who aren't Christian. And they go through girls on a regular basis, like they're trading Pokemon cards or something like that. And most of his friends do drugs. Go Green Bay. So what's left for my son Samuel? He's been on mission. He's been baptized. He's got up the front and spoken at church many times. He's saved. What's left? Coming to church once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, and living a life of not doing stuff? What does he have to look forward to? What do we have to look forward to? What about you? You saved? You baptized? You done mission? You've been part of the worship team? Okay. Most of you would have done that by the time you're 18. And then what's left? Where's the excitement go? Is it a life of not doing stuff? Is that what you set yourself up for? Is that what Christ came here to have us do? A life of don't do stuff? My job is to make people Christian. Literally, that's what I do. Walk around, you Christian? No, hey. that's what I spend my day trying to do. But along the way, I've got to stop and go, do you want to be Christian? Because we're going to come over here and not do a whole bunch of stuff. I know some of you think this way too. I know, like Sam, some of you look at your friends at schools, workplaces, and other places like that, and you do get envious of the things that they do. You do wonder. You do get jealous. And sometimes you do feel like you're missing out when your friends talk about these parties and, oh, man, this was... And you're sitting there like, I don't do. And you feel outed. You feel separated. You feel somewhat weird and estranged. And it gets hard. It gets hard at school, especially when you're the one not doing. And I know this because for at least the last 15 years, probably longer, there's been this horrible trend, this trend of this 80% of young people leave the faith in their late teens and early 20s. Okay? I was here half my life. I saw it. I'm at a church now. I see it. I don't think this church is any different than every other church in this country. And I don't know about the rest of the world. I actually don't care about the rest of the world. I care about this church right now. And this thing keeps happening. Now, there's a number of reasons why, but the biggest part, I think, is Christians grow up and they look ahead and go, oh, 80 years of not doing. That doesn't sound too appealing. So I might look around and see what else there is to do. But I'm glad. I'm so glad that that's all wrong and that's all rubbish. Christianity is not boring. And if you already think that, or if you were like that dude was, then you've been told a lie and you've bought a lie and you're living in a lie. Christianity is not boring. It's not about what we don't do. Christianity has been the most amazing experience of my life ever, and I can't wait for it every single day. I want to read to you a chapter, if we can jump to the next slide and get that guy off the screen, because then the attitude, I can feel it in the back of my head. Yeah. I read this chapter about a year ago or so, and it absolutely blew my mind. I'd read it before, like when I just crashed through the Bible. Yeah, I've read the Bible, whoop-de-doo. Did it do anything? No, because I just blasted through it. But this time I took my time and read through this passage. And oh man, you know when you sometimes the scripture just reaches out a hand and just in the face? Like this is what this passage did to me. So I'm going to read it to you. And as I go, I'm going to stop and kind of unpack it for you. So it's 1 Peter 1. I'm reading from a New Living Translation. So, verse 3, starting from verse 3. So skip the intro. Yep. Peter loves Jesus. We got that. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we are being born again. Being born again. Okay? Just wanted to hold on to that. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? Now we live with this great expectation. This expectation is, again, future language, forward language. There's this great thing that's coming. Okay, so we're living in this, he's talking about this future time. And we have this priceless inheritance, an inheritance kept, again, future references, in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until, again, another reference to the future, until you receive this salvation. When the first time I read that, I was like, what? Receive salvation? No, I'm saved. I said the prayer. I'm saved. You mean I have salvation now? Sorry, Peter, you got this wrong. I'm going to keep reading. Which is ready to be revealed in the last days for all to see. He's talking about salvation in the future. Now, this struck me. This didn't make sense. So I kept reading. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine and is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. You love him, though you've never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with him in glorious, inexpressible joy. That reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Salvation seems to be this thing that is ahead of us. It's in the future. I'm going to jump to verse 13. Verse 13 says, so prepare your minds for action. Remember I asked you to hold that before? It's come back. Prepare your minds for action. Exercise self-control. Put your hope in the gracious salvation that will come. Jeepers. All the way through, salvation is this thing in the future. And yet I'm sitting here going, I thought I was saved now. To you when Jesus Christ is real to the whole world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. From a point where you are transformed, where you are moving forward in your life, don't be suckered into going backwards like 80% of the church does. As if you didn't know any better then. Verse 15. Hold on to this. Highlight this. Memorize this. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy as I am holy. I'm going to jump to chapter 2, verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kinds of unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow to the full experience of salvation. Cry out for nourishment now that you have tasted the Lord's kindness. On the screen behind me, there's a path that leads two ways. I'm going to explain this salvation thing to you. This way is the way away from God. And this is the way we were born, and this is the way we all go. This way is the path towards God. So as we were born, as we come into this world and we journey through, we are all going down this wrong way until Christ crashes into our lives and calls us to turn around. Okay? That is called repentance. So to repent is to actually to change direction. Repentance literally means to change direction. When you change direction away from Christ and towards Christ, that's when you are transformed. That's when you gain faith. That's when you are adopted into his kingdom. You become a son and daughter of the living Christ. Amen? That all happens at that moment when Christ calls you to repent, to turn around. So from this point here, every step, even though you're still on the wrong path, every step back towards the right path is a step in the right direction. You don't just magically get saved and become this, oh, wow, I'm so pure and holy and awesome. Can't wait to die and meet Jesus. That's not how it works. Because this is a life worked out with trials and hard times. You don't just saved, boom, it's all done. And I get to cruise for the next 80 years of my life in a church not doing. That's not how it is. It's a path with two paths. We're all heading down the wrong path. Some of you are still heading down this path. That's okay. Christ will come crashing into your life and turn you around, hopefully through your friends and family, like it happened to me. But when you turn, that is when you gain adoption. You are made justified, which is a legal term. God calls you not guilty. At that point, you're adopted. You're his. The rest of the journey, back down the wrong path and onto the right path, is actually called sanctification. And this is your path to glorification. Glorification is when you die. What a great time that is. Because you do get to meet Jesus. But as you walk down this path, this is a path of sanctification. This is what Peter is talking about. This is how we've got the words confused. Salvation is a long path that takes you from the rest of your life, from your point of conversion, where you repented and literally turned direction and walked down. This is sanctification. This is you getting holier and holier every single day. Not just standing here on the wrong path. Oh, I can't wait to go to church in 2 weeks' time. This is you every single day seeking Christ and trying to become more holy. That's the point. That's what Peter's talking about here. This is why there's this salvation that comes in the future as we journey down this path. But some of you will say, oh, but we can't be holy, Dan. Yes, you can. That's rubbish. Of course you can become holy. Absolutely. God said, be holy as I am holy. So he's not lying, right? So we can be. It's just maybe you haven't tried. And maybe if you do try, you might find you maybe get 1% of the way. Maybe you get 99% of the way. I don't know. I haven't met anyone who's 100% there, but I've seen some people who are very close. But what about, oh, but being holy isn't a good thing because, you know, those righteous people who think they're holy, you know, no one likes them. I want to be relevant and cool. This is a 2,000-year-old book with a message that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Stop trying to be relevant. Stop trying to be cool and now because this message isn't cool. People who don't know Christ are destined, do I say it? For damnation. I was, that dude with the long hair. Boom, highway that way. Okay, until I knew Christ, turn around. It is a long walk back. I was a long way down that other path. I'm not even sure I'm past the V yet, right? It's being holy is what we are called to be. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We're the living temple. Okay? We are to make that place holy as we go. Be holy. Don't look down at others. I'm not talking about be holy and then be stupid. That's just stupid. Don't parade your holiness around like it's something that you can throw about. No, don't do that. But picture this. If you were holy, how can you look around at the world and all the injustice in it and do nothing? Because a holy person can't sit here and look outside and go, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's good the way it is. Because a holy person, someone every day waking up, and the goal is not just, boom, I'm holy all of a sudden. It's every single day. I need to be holier than I was yesterday. You know, I did good yesterday. Can I do better again today? Wow, what a challenge. What a lifetime of trying to, and sin and temptation. But you know what? Christ is on my side, and the Holy Spirit lives within me, and I'm not bound to anything. That's exciting. That's life. And when you get holy, the holier you become, meaning the more Christ-like you become, which is, again, we get transformed into the likeness of Christ. You've heard about the Imago Dei. You've heard about how we become the likeness of Christ. Hopefully, you guys have been taught this thing. But we become as Christ-like as humanly possible, and then we get glorified. And I don't know exactly what it works then, but Christ says, you're like me, and I'm like you. Okay? How can you sit here in the world and not be disgusted by it? And not take action. Prepare your minds for action. Stand up for justice. This means be holy. Christianity isn't about all the don't do's, okay? Drugs, excessive drinking, going too far with your boyfriends and girlfriends, all that kind of stuff. Let me just speak into that for a second. I used to do drugs, lots of them, okay? Greg Sands knew me when I did that stuff. I don't do them anymore. Why? Because I want to be good by church standards? Because the church tells me not to? Because I want to fit in with the Christians? Because Christians don't do that kind of stuff because it's one of these rules? Do I look like someone who wants to fit in? Did I ever try to fit in? I don't do drugs anymore because I found something greater, and it is the absolute love of Christ in my life. I found that doing drugs kept me away from Christ. So I choose the greater things in life. I choose to be holy because it's more satisfying, more fulfilling, more joyful, more happiness, more of everything in Christ. Drugs kept me away from Christ. They kept my mind slow. They kept me back. So it's not like I wake up, I'm not going to do drugs. No, I don't even think about that. I want to do things that are so much better, so much more powerful, so much greater. It's not a life of not doing. It's a life of choosing the higher things. It's a subtle difference, but it's a more positive spin on things. Okay, your life as a Christian ahead of you isn't about rules and regulations and not doing to make other people happy. It's being like Christ. It's not easy. Peter said, there will be trials that you face. He kind of plays them down. If you read the book of James, James is like, consider it a pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith will produce endurance. he makes it a little harder. He's like, this is going to get really hard. Peter's like, all right, let's trials for a little time. Like, sweet ass Peter. Christianity isn't boring at all. It isn't about following rules. It's about finding Christ and falling deeply and madly and passionately in love with him, because he is deeply and madly and passionately in love with you. Choose his ways. Be proactive. And every day, set yourself to a new task of being holy. I don't care what the world says about you being holy. They don't want you to be holy, so they'll try to make you as unholy as they can to be like the rest of them, because they don't like getting confronted by it, which is why they push holiness to the side and tell you, oh, boo, get out of the way, you holy whatevers. No, I will not. I want to be like Christ. And I see the world differently because of that. Again, not trying to be better than anyone else. That's stupid. And if that's all you're doing it for, then you don't know Christ. When you are holy, you start to look at others with a different type of grace and a different type of mercy. The way I was, when Greg and Dave looked at me, they could see I was not holy. It was evident. They could see it. But that didn't stop them at all. My friend Dave knew the stuff I was doing. I didn't even tell people about the stuff I did before I became a Christian, because it's that bad. My friend David saw all of it, and he had the guts to ask me to come to church. And some other guys had some guts to put up with me for years and years and years. And that didn't stop them from loving me, because they were committed to following Christ, because they had been transformed in the way they saw the world. Because, and Greg's not going to like this, but I hope he does, because Greg is holy, because he's dedicated his life to trying to be holy. And because he did that, he was able to see me in a different light. I wasn't fit to be in church. I didn't belong here. I was a real rat bag here. I tried to disrupt everything. And they saw it, and they knew it, but they loved me anyway, because they got it. They saw the world differently, and they saw me differently. Be holy. Don't conform to the world's standard. Be like Christ. Journey every day towards him. Be holy so you can see more clearly the injustices in the world. Be more holy that you might take bold action against those things in the world. And not just sit back and say, everything is okay, everything is fine. What path are you on? Which direction are you heading? Mission. Mission is amazing. Go on mission. Go on mission as much as you can. Local area, other countries, get out there and see the world and get a perspective of how other people see things and do things. Evangelize. It's horrible and hard. These might be the trials that Peter was talking about. People reject you. People laugh at you. Yes. It's not an excuse not to do it. It fuels you. It gives you courage to try and do it again and again. And you might bump into someone like me. Let's go back a picture. Let's put that back up. Because that bad attitude might be... There are millions of bad attitude people out there who don't want to be Christians. And if you don't tell them about Christ, who will? If you become holy and you set your life to becoming holy every day, it'll become second nature. It'll become part of who you are. It'll become so easy that it flies off the tongue. And then when they rebuke you and call you all sorts of names for Jesus' sake, Matthew 5, you're going to be like, mate, I'm going to go back and try that again tomorrow. I'm going to try another way again tomorrow. And you won't grow tired and you won't grow weak of giving out. Christianity isn't about, oh, I don't do and I don't do. Change that language. Choose the higher things. If you're struggling with stuff, okay, I get that. I get that. That doesn't mean you're not saved. That doesn't mean you haven't repented and been turned around. That's okay. That's all part of this journey. But view it a different way. Don't be like, oh, the church says and people say that I shouldn't do. Those things exist that we shouldn't do. Choose the things that we should do. Take control of your thoughts. Take control of your actions and try to. And every day, try a little better. And one day you'll be free. You'll be, wow, what was I like back then? So I wanted to have a bit of a response time, so if the worship team want to jump back up. Normally, responses are for calling the non-Christians forward, and they're going to give their life, okay? If you're a non-Christian here, or pre-Christian, as I call you, find a Christian around you and just say, hey, by the way, that Dan, when he talked about he was a non-Christian, I'm the same, because they would love to talk to you, okay? If you're a Christian and you're following Christ, and you think that because you've been baptized and sung on the worship team and said a prayer out loud that you've done it all, and you think Christianity is boring, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you to say, look, you can be holy. You can be a person to bring justice into this world. You can love people who are so unlovable that you can change their entire life, then their family's life, and then thousands of people around them. You can do that. If you want a life that's exciting, full of adventure and danger, and who knows what around the next corner, come forward. I'd love to pray with you. Jeremy would love to pray with you. Anyone else here would love to pray with you. Choose Christ, because he already chose you before the foundations of the earth, before you were born. He knew you. He said, I love this person. Even though you might be like I was, he loved me then. And it took the action of holy people to show me. Let me close. If you want to come forward, come forward. So Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much that you don't give up on us. You never quit on us. And you gave us your Holy Spirit so that we can bring justice where there is no justice. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be holy. Help us to grab that word, take it back and say it's a good thing. Help us to be like you. Now, we need it now more than ever. We need it today. We need it with urgency. We need people now to rise up and say, I want to be holy like Christ. I am not content. This world sucks and I want to change it. We need that now. Help us as we journey towards sanctification. Work us through our salvation until we get glorified when we meet you face to face. Jesus, we love you. Amen.